information from police sources has been tumbling out here in Boston. The AP is reporting that Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the older brother accused in the Boston bombing, was an ardent reader of jihadist websites and extremist propaganda in the run-up to the attacks last week. His younger brother, 19-year-old Jahar, is being treated in a Boston hospital. He reportedly says he and his brother acted alone in the bombings. Also today, a private funeral was held for 27-year-old MIT police officer Sean Collier. Police say the suspects shot and killed him as he sat in his car Thursday, just before the violent rampage Thursday night. Mary Susan Blout came to show her support.
They assassinated him. He had no chance. And sad. It's, you know, there's no other way around. It's terrible. I just want to pay my respects.
A memorial service for Sean Collier is scheduled for tomorrow at MIT. Vice President Joe Biden expected to attend. Meanwhile, Boston is reopening the area around the bombing site today. In a few minutes, we'll speak with Alan Dershowitz on the legal end of this story. But first, what we know in the investigation with Boston Globe reporter Milton Valencia. Milton, as we said, it's being reported that Johar has said he had a role in the bombing. What else are we learning?
We're really kind of just seeing what's out there. The fact that Johar may have spoken to authorities and may have given them some insight into the design of the plot and what was actually happening. We're checking those reports now, trying to gauge what's happening, because that will play a role in how the federal investigators went about charging him with certain crimes. Not a terrorism crime, meaning they're not looking to link him to any other association. This could just be a plot that was carried out by him and his brother.
What's being called third wave. In other words, young people, instead of being recruited, sort of self-recruiting through the internet. Well, you reported yesterday, a detail that's catching a lot of people's eyes, that the boat where Jahar, the second suspect, the one who survived, was found in Watertown, was actually inside the search perimeter. Initially, police said it was outside the search area. Now, to remind our listeners, outside of the Boston area, people across the region were told they could leave their homes late Friday from everywhere that had been on sort of a lockdown when people in what was supposed to be the search perimeter in Watertown, Massachusetts, when one man went into his backyard, he found blood on his boat. He lifted a tarp. This is a stored boat in the backyard. He lifted the tarp and saw a bloody man there. What are the questions being raised now about the fact that that boat was in the search perimeter?
I think they really need to understand where the suspect went after the gunfire ended, and the fact that they knew there was blood in the car. They knew he was bleeding at one point. How did he get to the boat? They knew he was behind a house bleeding at one point, like kind of gathering there for a period of time. So they need to find his course of action, whether he went into any houses, whether he went directly to the boat. And I don't know if they know that right now. I think they're trying to follow not only the plot trail, but also the blood trail to the boat here.
Yeah, he might have left that bloody trail after they were in that area, but we'll be learning more about that. And then, as we mentioned, Thursday night, the killing of the MIT officer Sean Collier. That's been a puzzlement to so many. Have we learned any more about why?
No, well, we know it was an assassination. We know that, where the law enforcement officials we're speaking to seem to think that they went on a path of destruction and really just started there with this officer. He seems to have been assassinated. There are different reports out there, but what we do know is that they're characterizing it as an assassination and the first of their destructive path that lasted for hours.
And then a carjacking followed. The person who was carjacked, there were reports that he either was released or he ran away. Do we know what's true?
We don't. Yep. Even witnesses saying they weren't sure. They just know he ran off really quickly. They did stop at a gas station at one point to kind of just grab some supplies. And we understand that this person ran at this point. Whether they were letting him go, kind of letting it happen, we're not sure. He could have been fired upon at that point. Yep. But we did know he took that opportunity to flee at that point.
Well, there's also a huge gap between the carjacking that occurred in Cambridge and then the shootout out in neighboring Watertown after a car chase. What is the thinking about what happened, and how long was that time?
Well, we're talking 2 hours at this point. Mm. We know that the carjacking was around 10:30, and they were in Cambridge at that point, and they made their way into Watertown, and the firefight began about 2 hours later when MBTA and Watertown officers confronted this car that had been stolen. So we're trying to see what happened in those 2 hours. We do know that there was a Honda that the suspects used that was in the area at that time. You know, I think law enforcement officials are looking at whether they were trying to use this as a getaway car to go to New York, or whether they had used this as a place to stockpile the explosives and other ordnance that they had. I think law enforcement's looking at that, but nonetheless, it seems that they had pre-planned their trip to Watertown.
So is the thinking that they might have been stockpiling at least one of those cars in those 2 hours? Because as listeners outside the area might not know, another pressure cooker bomb was thrown at police at that shootout in Watertown.
Another pressure cooker bomb, as well as other kind of, you know, pipe bomb like grenades that they threw from cars. So they had multiple ordnances, at least two or three that went off, others that did not detonate. So again, they did stockpile. And at one point when they were doing the carjacking, they didn't have these materials. So the question is, where did they get them? What were they doing in Watertown at that time?
And it took them 2 hours to do it. So could have gone far and wide. Milton Valencia of the Boston Globe with the latest on the investigation into the Boston Marathon bombings. Oh, one last question, Milton. Police are also taking another look at a 2011 case in which three people were brutally murdered in Waltham, also in the same area. The older suspect, Tamerlan, who's now dead, knew one of those people. That dead young man's family wants that case reexamined. Any sense of what will happen there?
Well, I think the district attorney in Middlesex has given it due course, given what we know now about Tamerlan Tsarnaev and his history with the victims in this case. You know, he knew them, called them his best friend, but at the same point did not go to their funeral. It raises suspicions among family members. The way the crime was carried out, the murder was heinous, also symbolic for Islamic extremists. It was the 10th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. So there's just a lot of, you know, dots that are out there that the district attorney just wants to look at.
Yeah. Milton Valencia of the Boston Globe, thanks so much.
Thank you.